Hey, it's episode 27. Welcome to The Blaze. Welcome to our season wrap-up show. We have a lot to cover today. This is going to be one of the best episodes of the year. We'll do some playoff predictions, some buying, selling. The fan mailbag is overwhelming this week. But as we look back on this season and look ahead, we invite General Manager Head Coach Sean Clouston on the show. We get pretty deep into things. We get into some inside baseball, if you will. That's all coming up. We do a deep dive, about a 25-minute chat. That's coming up here in about 10, 15 minutes or so. Logan Stankoven in Vancouver with the Dallas Stars and a big contingent from Kamloops making that trek. Wes Stankoven was on NL Morning News. We'll talk more about that, but that's a big game for sure. If you're listening to this the show here on the radio, the Thursday edition, then that is upcoming. We'll have that game on Radio NL. If you hear it afterwards, we all hope that Logan had a great game and everybody enjoyed themselves. How about Alan Miller? He went off, the general manager of the Regina Pats, following an 11-1 loss to wrap up the season to rival Moose Jaw. The Blazers had a similar situation. We'll dive back into those comments. Harrison Brunick, his season is likely not done. We'll explain. And that is coming up. Emmett Finney signs an NHL deal. Just another Blazer to sign a contract here in the last number of years. And Emmett was Mr. I'm not going to talk about it until it happens. And we'll hear more about that. Draft lottery also this week. Prince Albert wins, but so do the Everett Silvertips with that Blazer pick. Everett will pick first overall. We have lots to dive into it. No time to waste. It is episode 27 for Rivershore Golf Links, jumping on the course with Kevin next week. We'll give you a Rivershore scouting report in next week's episode. It is The Blaze, episode 27. Okay, let's get into the opener now for Bryce Automotive and Customs. And we thank Bryce for being on board for this, our second season of The Blaze. Bryce Automotive and Customs, they specialize in car, pickup, truck repairs or restorations, car repainting, custom paint and bodywork, with over 60 years of automotive knowledge in the garage. And again, you can find them on Wilson Street, on the North Shore, Danny and Kevin and the crew at Bryce Automotive. Okay, we'll start with Logan, member of the Dallas Stars in Vancouver Thursday night. Again, if you're listening on the radio, on the Thursday edition live, we have that game here coming up. And that's a big one. And again, a lot of people have been telling me they're going, and I'm seeing comments on Facebook and on Twitter that there's a ton of people going. Wes Stankoven, the dad on the NL Morning News today, plenty of support and could be up to 150 or so making that trek.
Yeah, you know what? It's just amazing the support we've had, for our family and for Logan, and just really grateful to all of Kamloops and the surrounding area. And, you know, we've got about 70 or 80 people going, and then another about 30, 40 people have reached out, and, you know, people from the island are coming and people from Revelstoke and the Okanagan. And it's pretty cool to see that. And, you know, to see the support that Logan's getting, and we really appreciate it, and just really excited for tonight.
So let's hope for a good game, and as well, a chance here for Logan to kind of stick it to the Canucks. Remember in that second round, they picked Klimovich ahead of him, and Klimovich has yet to play a game in the NHL. He's 21 years old. So Logan so far sticking it to a team. There's an old pitcher of Logan and I think Tyson Galloway, and there was some other player. They're really young. It was like a spring hockey team. They were all in Canucks jerseys. I hope the Canucks broadcast finds that pitcher today. I was looking for it, but I couldn't track it down. We should double back and talk about Toledo's ceremony last Friday night. By the way, it was great to see opposition ranks like Kelowna, Van, Prince George, Seattle, all sort of pay their respects to Toledo. Our fans are great. Standing ovation. They were chanting his name, putting a wrap on 29 years in the WHL. So I wanted to give Toledo a chance to respond. and talk about that reaction from our awesome fans.
So overwhelming. Like, when they started chanting Toledo, I was like, oh my goodness, I've been dreaming about this forever. My grandpa's name was Albert, and I used to always chant that, and then the Canadian Tire commercial came out. So it was amazing. Blazer Nation, you simply are the best, and I can't thank you enough. It's just been an unbelievable ride. I love each and every one of you. I keep coming out and supporting this young team, and they're going to figure it out and get going and only get better from here, and I look forward to being in the stands with you, helping cheer them on.
I love how he pointed out that Albert Canadian Tire commercial. Do you remember that one? Everybody's chanting, Albert, Albert, and he has his first name on the back of a jersey. But yeah, Albert was the kid always picked last, and it's a great commercial. Anyways, Emmett Finney. Let's talk about Emmett's NHL contract for Finns. I did a postseason wrap-up interview with Emmett, and he didn't lead on to any of this being imminent. And within the next few hours, he had the deal signed. I was, you know, making questions like, hey, next year's a big year, your 19-year-old season. You know, you're going to try to fight for an NHL contract. Get signed. You're a seventh-round pick. It's an uphill battle. 201st overall. Can it happen for you? And lo and behold, it happened for him. And for Emmett, look back to last year. He watched a lot of his teammates get the NHL contract accolades. Matthew Semenoff, Kyle Masters, Caden Bankier, Dalen Keefler, Jakub Demick, all signed when they were here. Did I mention Ryan Hofer? He signed when he was here too. Logan Stankov and Olin Zellweger the year before. But Emmett quietly just, you know, waited his turn, but more importantly, waited his turn in the lineup with the team.
Being on the fourth line, got to learn some things from a lot of the older guys. And, you know, this year, stepping to a bigger role, I think embraced it pretty well, you know, learned a lot of stuff from all our guys last year, so it was easier to step into that role and, you know, found some good chemistry with a couple guys late in the season, so it was good.
Good on Emmett Finney. He'll be back here for his 19-year-old season, unless he makes the Red Wings roster right out of training camp. But I would expect Emmett back and lead the way with his team next season. That is the opener for Bry's Automotive and Customs. It's on the move for Thompson Valley Charters, tvcbus.ca. And I've got this far in the show. I haven't paid tribute to the three 20-year-olds. But Logan Barrows, Blake Swetlikoff, Ashton Furster really went out in my books on a high note, both on the ice and off the ice. Blake, we may never, you know, see Blake again. He left the day after, and he's a guy that came in here and really warmed up to me personally. I really liked him and around. He was a veteran presence, and I was joking, he's 20 going on 40, and he said he's heard that his whole life. Ashton Furster nearly had a hat trick in his final WHL game. Wouldn't that have been something? He goes over 200 games in his career without one, and he was a little redirect wide of the post from getting three that night. And for Logan Barrows, who we had on the show last week, five-year guy, you know, broke in during the pandemic bubble season as a forward. He sent me a really nice text message on his way out of town. And he's one that we'll keep in touch with and watch to see where his journey goes. And I thought he gave a great interview last week just about his future plans. So kudos to our three 20-year-olds. We wish him all the best. On the move, Thompson Valley Charters. Harrison Brunick, he could be on the move, potentially all the way to Finland. Why? He has a shot to make Canada's under-18 world team for that tournament. He has not played since BC Family Day on that hit from Alex Edwards. But he's getting close. He's on the radar for Team Canada, and I did speak with Harry before he departed.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Obviously, had a nice time to recover here. You know, I'm just looking forward to going back home and jumping on the ice right away, actually. So I basically got my rest here and, just going to start all over again.
Are you at some point here going to be cleared for contact? Because there's potential that you could be playing some hockey here very, very shortly.
Yeah, it's a goal to play on the U18 team. But, I've just been cleared for contact on the 25th. So looking forward to any opportunities I have going forward here.
What have you been told on the Hockey Canada side as far as potentially playing for Canada at the under-18 Worlds? This is an ongoing discussion. They're probably concerned about, you know, your health here. So what do you know?
You know, I don't really know too much. I mean, I know that they kind of look to pick the team around, you know, first round of playoffs after that. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to again, like I said, any opportunity that I have going forward here. And it's a goal to make that team.
So we'll wait for that announcement. We'll wait on that, see if that comes to fruition. NHL draft, of course, this summer for Harrison, also front and center. And we'll be looking closer into that in the months ahead. Oh, and how about what happened with Regina and Moose Jaw to close out the regular season? Two rivals, very similar to a Kamloops-Kelowna-type scenario. 11-1, the final in Moose Jaw, as the Warriors poured it on in that final game. Jagger Furkus, he was in a scoring race, a five-point game. He scored one of those lacrosse-style goals to maybe rub a little bit more salt into it all. And the Pats were none too happy. Their head coach, Brad Haroff, getting up on the stanchion, yelling over at Mark O'Leary. And the goalies scrapped at it. There was a bit of a Donnybrook. Alan Miller, the GM of the Regina Pats. This hits a bit closer to home, maybe, for him. He was also the former GM of the Warriors. So in the day after Regina Pats' season wrap, he was asked about that game and his take.
I think for me, probably even a little bit more personal with my history with the club there. And I believe there's a lot of people in that organization that have their opportunities because when I was the manager there, I think in this situation, you know, certain players and Brad in particular, you got to stand up for your team. You know, I really don't understand the thought process by the coach in Moose Jaw. Even going back to Thursday night, you know, sitting out players against a potential playoff opponent and laying down and then ramping it up against one of the, you know, let's be honest, weaker teams in the league that was very shorthanded, why they felt they needed to embarrass our team, why he felt that he needed to employ and manage his bench that way. It's very disappointing for me. So I don't get it. But at the end of the day, people can say whatever they want, you know, Miller's just whining, you know, they kicked our ass. That's fine. They're moving on. They have the opportunity to go to the playoffs. I think it's another message for us in terms of how much work we have to do here to get better. But, you know, I hope Mark O'Leary's behind the bench in Moose Jaw when we're going to be a good team, because we are going to be a good team and I have a long memory. If you're in the game for the right reasons, if you have passion for the game, if you're competitive, how can you not be on our side and not be pissed off? It was embarrassing. It was disrespectful. And I think at the end of the day, as much as we took it on the chin, and let's face it, you lose 11-1, it's embarrassing for your club. But I think in an ironic way, they embarrassed themselves as well.
So I really like that on a lot of fronts. And in fact, that whole 8-9 minutes... post-game wrap, you can find it on Twitter or online with Alan Miller, was excellent from start to finish. Not so much just about the antics at that game and, you know, the beef that created, just about going through a rebuild and going through the steps to be successful once again. I thought it was great insight. I really like the last part of that clip, though. We talked about if you're in the game for the right reasons, this shouldn't happen. And, of course, the Blazers had a similar situation with Kelowna. In fact, there seems like there's been a lot of this lately. It happened in the NHL. Saw the Leafs and the Sabres getting at it. So we'll take a little bit more of a dive into that with Sean Clouston coming up. He's got a relationship with Alan Miller. That's coming up in our feature interview. We'll try to pull back the curtain just a little bit on that. Don't miss that conversation. Some inside talk for y'all coming up. That's On the Move for Thompson Valley Charters. Okay, it's feature interview time. For Hydra Power Wash, our friends have been on board this season, Christopher and his brother Sheldon, the death metal crew, Hydra Power Wash, mobile pressure washing services in Kamloops in the BC interior. I have to check up with Christopher here, see how it's all going here, if he's busy, what kind of jobs he's got going on, because he does all those full exterior house washes and moss removal from roofs, and he's quite the busy guy. If you want to track him down, see what sort of services he can do to help you with your cleaning, your spring cleaning. Info at hydropowerwash.com. Text them 250-851-1072. Find them on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Hydra Power Wash. Our chat with Blazers head coach GM Sean Clouston on the season that was and a look ahead. Sean, it's been, what, 4 or 5 days now since the end of the season. You've had a chance to digest what it was. That changed any sort of your opinion or outlook on how it went?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, when you're in it, you're evaluating constantly. I think, you know, the decision, the ultimate decision to make moves was at the deadline. But I think, you know, there was a lot of conversation within the group and ownership that it was, you know, probably something that we're going to have to do. You know, maybe the extent or the number of moves or the volume might have been discussed a little bit more as the year went on, and you know, what are some options? What are we able to do at the deadline? You know, those were kind of the decisions as it went on.
Looking back at those trades now, it started with the Fraser Minton deal to Saskatoon. You get in Jordan Keller. He puts up, actually, I think he put up more points than Fraser in the second half of the season. That said, Fraser brings a lot of elements, leadership, presence, everything. We know what he's about. But Jordan Keller, potential three-year guy, 2 first-round picks, a fourth-round selection. Obviously, it plays out with Fraser now into the playoffs with Saskatoon, but that's what started it, and I think you're happy with your return and the outlook moving forward there.
Yeah, I think we're happy with the way it turned out all the way around. I mean, Fraser was a big part of our team. You know, we know his family. You know, Rice was on the team. We talked to the family lots, saw them in different spots. You know, I remember talking to them in Kelowna, and, you know, there's always two sides to the trade. I mean, you know, we're happy for Fraser and glad that he is having an opportunity to do what he's doing in Saskatoon. And, you know, we're really pleased with how everything turned out. Those picks are going to be very important for the organization moving forward. The draft picks are, you know, now turning 15 years old and 14 years old. So there's going to be some time until we actually, you know, see the impact of those players. But you have to have picks. You have to have draft picks. That's the lifeblood of the team. And you just have to have those picks, you know, to continue to be competitive.
You have 9 picks here ahead in the first 4 rounds of the upcoming prospects draft here in just a couple of weeks as we record this. I don't know if you can use all those picks to select. Maybe you can, you know, defer a couple to next season. But next year's draft, you have 3 in the first round in 2025 potentially. But you can also use those picks different ways. Have you sat down and sort of thought about how you use some of this ammunition for perhaps the future or as early as next year?
Yeah, I think that, you know, moving a bit further, you know, with the trades, we moved some potential 20-year-olds out. Mm-hmm. You know, so we do have openings now for 20-year-olds. The thought process there was the value of players at the deadline is usually considerably higher than in the off season. So, you know, we planned all along to at some point, you know, reacquire some 20-year-old souls. Picks could be used before the draft. You know, if there are options that turn out, that work out, that, you know, certain players are available and it's a match. You know, after the draft in May, you know, we've moved on to the next season where we still have, as you mentioned, significant picks. So, you know, those picks could be used to acquire players again for this season. So I think we're dealing from a position of strength again, instead of, you know, just kind of watching the draft go by. There's some things that you can do. But we definitely, you know, have at least a couple of those picks potentially marked for 20-year-olds.
we should double back on that. Just the one 20-year-old coming back next year, as it speaks right now, as we speak, that's goaltender Dylan Ernst. But three goaltenders now with WHL game experience, albeit limited with Jesse Sonch and Logan Edmonstone. There's probably, and I know what we speak here in the last week of March, there's likely a decision coming in the fall. Do you use a 20-year-old spot in a goaltender, or do you sort of go younger in that position? I know it's early, but that's probably something that's looming for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that we've discussed already. Again, we're probably in that continue to discuss it, look at all of the other options. I think that the 20-year-olds that are available will play into it. The import draft could play into it, not necessarily because we're looking at a goaltender, but just you look at forwards, you look at D, you look at goaltenders, you look at age groups, you look at 20-year-olds, and there's a little bit of a puzzle to put together, and you know, those areas kind of all affect each other. So it'll be ongoing as we evaluate what the best thing to do is, and if there's moves to be made or decisions to be made, you know, during the summer, or if you go through the process and you start training camp and go through preseason with three goaltenders. I mean, those are both on the table for sure.
You mentioned the import draft. The order hasn't been announced, but if the order follows of the three leagues like it does normally, you'll have the second overall pick in the CHL import draft. That's the highest pick this franchise, I think, has ever had. You have two defensemen that are eligible to return next season in Mateo Kochi and Wojtek Volkfest, but you have a second overall pick, which hopefully can be parlayed into something. Is the discussions already started there on the front with agents and trying to land a, you know, I say high-end player, the potential's there. It's never a guarantee, but have those conversations started?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, it starts to heat up a little bit more now. There's been conversations, maybe not serious conversations, but conversations inquiring with agents who might be available. The agents ask, are you looking for forwards? Are you looking for D? We do have the option again in our league to draft goaltenders. So the next stretch here, that'll be a high priority to find out what the options are and see where it goes. We do feel we're in a position of strength in the regular draft. We feel that we potentially can make some impact with the import draft. And we're also going to work hard to try to find, 20-year-olds that we feel are a real good fit, taking all those other things into consideration.
Every offseason, it seems like there's, like a high-end prospect or an NHL-drafted player that through their family or their agent, they're looking for a change of scenery. I think of TJ Ginla, right? That's a name that comes to mind. They're out there. Obviously, like, I know how this works. The agents sort of feel around out there to see what the opportunity might be. We don't know of any names, but possibly, is there a situation where there is a high-end player out there seeing the opportunity that could be in Kamloops to play big minutes in a top-six role with a team that's still up and coming? Could that be something that could fall on your lap at some point this offseason?
Yeah, I'm not sure, John. I think that you're 100% right. There are, not a large number of those moves, but there are situations or scenarios where that happens. I mean, you mentioned again, we had a situation a couple summers ago where we moved Lindgren for a draft pick in Kyle Masters, and it made sense for us with the age group and gearing up for the Memorial Cup. So there are those moves. The positive is that, we are open for business again. If there is something that presents itself, we do have now, the options to try to create, a deal whereas when we started the season this year, we essentially knew where we were at. We weren't looking to acquire players. We were going to ride it out and then look to, recoup as much as we could at some point. So it feels good to be in a situation where, you know, if there is something out there, if there's options, players available, you know, we can again be in on those types of things.
And I would hope, given the organization's track record, that, you know, the Blazers would be a good spot. It seems like all this hockey club has done has had players sign NHL contracts lately. And Emmett Finney, another great example of that. Fins was doing the post-season interviews, and he didn't tell anybody what was going on. I'm having a chat with him like, hey, you know, next season's a big year. You can go and have a great year and maybe sign an NHL deal. Lo and behold, I think he signed about 2 hours later with the Red Wings at 18. Great for Emmett Finney. Great opportunity for him this past year, especially after the deadline. Let's a quick word on Emmett Finney. He's likely back as a 19-year-old, though, next season with your team.
Yeah, he great poker face.
Yeah.
He led on, you know, nothing to nobody. I think it's a great story. I think it's not about us, but it feels really good. You know, to have a player like Emmett, I guess, to use as an example, a story for time to come here, you know, for moving on. He was a player that was a little bit undersized when he first got here. It was a kind of an uphill battle. He played behind, you know, that strong group, you know, of 03s, was in and out of the lineup. His first season at 16, didn't score a goal, came back and, you know, again, was a little bit of a holding pattern, you know, had to fight for ice time, had to fight for positioning in the lineup. A couple opportunities during the season, whether it was injuries or, you know, when guys were away for World Juniors, he got a little more opportunity, ice time, a little bit higher up in the lineup and really, grabbed hold of it, performed well. I think that's the key. I think it's that preparation and readiness when the opportunity comes, and he really took advantage of it, and enough so that, you know, with his play during the entire season and then playoffs, you know, he was able to gain enough interest, and, you know, Detroit drafted him. Even though the season was challenging, you know, for the team, Emmett just continued to play hard, play right, perform well, and ends up signing an NHL contract. So such a terrific story. I mean, I think there's lots of players that, you know, in our league that want things to happen right away, that only want to be on a winning team, that don't embrace the entire process. And Emmett's just an unbelievable example of somebody that's just, you know, sort of trusted the whole process, continued to play and play hard, and he's being rewarded right now. And yes, we do fully expect him back, you know, as a seventh round pick, back next year. You know, he's got lots of room to grow. I mean, I'm really looking forward to, you know, what he can do, what Jordan Keller can do, you know, number of our guys, you know, what they can do, you know, a year older. And that's a big year. I mean, it's big from 16 to 17 and 17 to 18. In my experience, there's a lot of players that really come into their own, you know, at 19 years old. They, you know, they're finally kind of matched up against their peers on a consistent basis. You know, there's some 20-year-olds in the league, but other than that, they're, you know, they're the oldest age group. So we're really excited to see what Emmett can do moving forward.
It'd be nice to have a 19-year-old skater on the team this season moving forward. You know, you didn't have any of those after the deadline. And for you personally, I don't think, have you ever missed the playoffs? Did that happen at all in Medicine Hat?
We had the 1 year,
yeah.
John, where we played the play-in game against Edmonton. We had to kind of fight, scratch and claw to get to that point. We were on the outside looking in, and we had a stronger finish that got us into that position, and ended up losing that game. So that you know, essentially was a playoff miss. But it wasn't a ton of fun. It was challenging. I think we're really fortunate. I think our staff is terrific and has a really embraces the improvement mindset, and that was that was, you know, how we focused. We tried to look at each game and find ways to be competitive, and, you know, track certain areas and look for small victories within games or, you know, within situations. And, you know, we've talked about a lot, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself in the interview, but, you know, our older guys, the 20s, and then players like, you know, Emmett Finney did such a terrific job just continuing to fight and stay the course and try to be competitive.
With that said, because of the Blazers' success and your success over the years, there was a lot of teams out there that definitely had the Blazers in their on their target list. And you didn't see a lot of, you know, backup goaltenders. You didn't see a lot of teams take the foot off the gas this year. I guess that's a feather in your cap because you've been successful against some of these teams for the last 4 or 5 years as a division champion here. We just heard comments earlier on the show from Alan Miller, GM in Regina, as the Warriors went off and scored 11 goals in the final game of the season. He was upset and basically said, like, it's going to be used as fuel, that he hopes that the Moose Jaw coach is still behind their bench when the Pats are good again. I mean, some of this stuff gets pretty personal here. Were you able? You never really went there. I asked you a couple of times, maybe after the Kelowna game there, where their coach was very emotional in that pregame interview. You just kind of took the high road on it, but that's tough, right? Like, to have the success. I always say, the more you win, the more it hurts to lose. So with that said, like, you know, this was a year where a lot of teams were trying to get their pound of flesh, it seemed.
Yeah, I think you made a few comments there. And I think you're mostly right. I think the way I look at it is, it's to me, it's not overly personal for me. I feel for the guys. Like, you know, there were some nights where it got tough and things, you know, got out of hand. You know, the second half, really proud of the guys. And, you know, when we had exit meetings, a lot of the guys, you know, when you ask them what's the best part of the season, they mention that stretch. We have the deadline and we have three games where we are really outmatched. I think it was Everett, Portland, or, you know, after that, you know, we really, you know, had some, I think we were in Wenatchee, you know, lots of meetings and video, and, you know, really pleaded our case that if we play a certain way, if we can do these things, I truly believe we can be competitive. It's an opportunity for all of you. And there is some real good buy-in. And, you know, we went, you know, 500 for a decent stretch. So when we were in those games with a younger team where we weren't able to stay in it, and then it got out of hand, you know, I just felt for the players, you know, and I feel it's the coach's responsibility to do everything they can, whether it's structure or ice time or goalie changes or timeouts, whatever it is, to try to help. To me, it's not overly personal with the coaching staff. I mean, every coach can make their decisions. You know, there was an accusation that I don't necessarily agree with. I mean, everybody has their opinions, and maybe that's the way it felt, or maybe that's the way it appeared to them. You know, in Kelowna, you know, I get it. It's not enjoyable. It's not nearly as enjoyable when you're on the other end of those. And, you know, I think that, you know, I probably have some experience, you know, being, as you mentioned, for lots of years here on the right side of those scores. And, you know, maybe teams were a little more motivated, or, you know, a little bit of payback, and, you know, I guess that's the way it goes. Those games are done. We're on to the next season, and, you know, we're going to try to find a way to be a much more competitive team and start the return to, you know, the top. That's where we want to be. That's where everybody wants to be, you know, and then that process starts this summer.
Alan Miller, I love the comments because he pulled back the veil a little bit, sort of behind the scenes, and said things like, if you're in the game for the right reasons, you know, this doesn't happen, right? And I thought that was such a good comment. I know you have a relationship with him. You know, he talked about how, you know, we got embarrassed, but in a way, he thinks the other team embarrass themselves. Like, I just thought it was well put. After that game in Kelowna, there was an NHL game where that was first front and center. That was Buffalo-Toronto, I think it was. And then, of course, final game of the season here. So, yeah, I guess maybe you're a trendsetter. I'm not sure. But there was definitely some good post-game conversations there.
Yeah, no, I really like Al. I've known Al for a long time. I have a good relationship with Al. And, you know, I agree. I mean, there's lots of comments that did get a little bit behind the scenes or into what goes on. And for me, we try not to worry too much about other teams. We want to be aware of what, you know, where they're at in their process and, you know, how they're playing as a team so we can help prepare the players. You know, next year is going to be a different year. Next year, you know, I think our division is going to be really strong. There's going to be always, you know, a rivalry with Kelowna. That's just the way it goes.
Speaking of next year, and we'll wrap up on this, 23 potential returning players. I don't think I've ever covered a team that said 23 potential returnees. That's good and bad. That gives you a lot of players, but it also means that likely they all can't be here. I mean, we're not even factoring in, you know, two potential additions on 20-year-olds. We're not factoring in Ty Bunkowski, who came in and played really good late at 15. So there's some options and maybe some internal competition. What will you be focused on and looking at camp in the preseason next year?
I think the word competition is really, really important. And, you know, maybe this is lots of information out there. You mentioned Al kind of, you know, lifting the veil. But I think potentially, you know, with all the players we had leaving us last year, it might have created a little bit of a false sense of security for a group of players coming in. I mean, they're losing 8, 9, 10 guys. I mean, maybe there was conscious thought or unconscious thought that, you know, I'm going to be on the team and it's going to be fine. Sometimes, you know, fear can be a motivator, and I think the players all recognize and understand that, you know, this season was tough. The organization wants to take steps. We've all got 5 months here to get ready, and that's, you know, that's the message to everybody. Let's really, really work. Let's use it as an opportunity. We've got some extra time to get into the gym and get stronger and get faster, and you know, we're cheering for all our guys. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity here, and I think, you know, we've used Emmett Finney as an example. You know, it's really interesting. What pops into my mind is Logan Stankov, and as far as the improvement piece, because, you know, every year he would come back, he's our best 16-year-old, and he is strong and he is fast. And every year I remember, you know, we're sitting there watching, discussing things in training camp, and it's like, is Logan the most improved player? Like, how is that possible? How did he go from being like the best player, one of the best players on the team, or the best players in his age group, to he's improved as much or more than anybody else? And so that's, to me, junior hockey, and that's always the potential. That's always the opportunity. You know, we're probably, you know, good enough for time here, but, you know, we use examples of players, you know, here in Kamloops. You know, obviously I use examples of players throughout my career that were able to completely change the trajectory of their career in an off season. You know, just address, you know, areas of their game that they needed to improve. You know, I've had players come back where their skating was subpar, somewhat of a liability, and all of a sudden, 4 or 5 months later, like it's an asset where they found an extra step, they found some more strength and power, and now they're pulling away from guys instead of being caught or not being able to stay in the play because of the skating. You know, now they're using it to their advantage. So I think there's tremendous opportunity. You know, we're gonna do a good job. Cause is going to be on top of it with our off ice and our testing, and we're going to monitor those things. And I think it's a tremendous opportunity for all our young players and our older players to come back really, really improved.
Okay, Sean, hey, this is your last NL media duty here until, well, I guess the prospects draft is coming up here hot and heavy. But appreciate this. Get some downtime this summer. I know you have some options to where you you spend your time in the off season, and look forward to coming back in September and really giving this another go. Appreciate the deep thoughts here on the Blaze.
Yeah, thanks so much, John. Appreciate it.
So we've had to edit some of that interview for length for radio purposes. If you're listening on the podcast, you heard the full version. If you just heard that interview on the radio, there's a good chance some of it was deleted for time as we try to fit into this 1 hour radio window that we have. We're sort of tied by the clock, but the podcast is always the full version. Let's get into Prospect Corner now for Mastodon Equipment Repair. They are your mobile servicing and repair specialists. From coming up with a preventative maintenance program for all your equipment, aerial work platform inspections, pre-purchase inspections, they do emergency repairs. They've got you covered. Go big. Go with Mastodon. This team will see 23 returnees next season. This team finished with a ton of 16-year-olds to close out the year. Six on that roster. Now, I don't anticipate that many 16-year-olds on the team next year. I think Ty Bunkowski has a legitimate shot at forward. Defenseman Dryden Diebold will come in and take a shot at it. But other than that, you're riding that group of 07s, and you're riding that group of 06s, and you're trying to develop and get them up to speed and get them to be impact players. So it was great to speak to all the prospects this year on Prospects Corner, and names that we had, I think we did a pretty good job of getting these names into the lineup, and you hear about them here first, then you see them on the ice. Logan Edmonstone, Ty Bunkowski, the only one we didn't get to, Hudson Claussen, and that was all set for a debut. It didn't happen. So hopefully, ahead, the Blazers will have their spring prospects camp. They'll take their drafted crew here that are about to draft in May, and then the players that will be 16-year-old next season. So that's the 08s, and bring them in. Not sure what facility they'll use. For in the past, they've used Brock Arena for that. But I guess we'll see who has ice in June. And if we're still doing the podcast, maybe we'll do like a wraparound pod and come back for that week. But it's been a great year of learning who the prospects are and bringing them to you in a weekly basis for Mastodon Equipment Repair. Okay, let's do some buying and selling, and things are heating up for Kyle Panasuk at Royal LePage, Westwind Realty, Kamloops, trusted real estate professionals. All sorts of for sale signs coming up here with the spring-like weather. I know some of my neighbors' houses are on the market. And if you want to buy or sell, Kyle Panasuk, he'll help you out. Tell him the Blaze sent you. Text him, 250-819-9332. Looking for a realtor? Kyle Panasuk, Westwind Royal LePage Realty Kamloops. Okay, before we get into our buying and selling playoff predictions, we have another City Hall mess in Kamloops, don't we? And things have escalated, haven't they, here? Like, they have escalated. And hey, I'm not going to wade into the waters here, but if there is a potential like lawsuit out of this coming with the two city staffers involved with their big salaries and their severances, it could get, I'm told it could get into the millions and millions of dollars and millions. Many won't get that reference, but some will. So as citizens of Kamloops and homeowners and taxpayers, we'd be on the hook for that.
Sell, sell, sell.
Like, do we want that? No, we don't. So I'm thinking here with this escalation, the kids' gloves are coming off and it's about to get real, real quick. But I will say this for everybody talking about the electoral process, which saw Reed Hamer Jackson capture the most votes. No denying that, capture the most votes in the last civic election, albeit I think the votes were like less than the eighth place councillor. Here's what happened here. And there is a group that you can point a finger at. This is my opinion on this. When the mayoral election took place, Three sitting city councilors wanted that chair, and another former councilor seeking that chair. So you have a group of four with similar platforms, similar ideas, similar backgrounds, and all they did was chop the vote amongst themselves. That's all they did. Sadie Hunter took votes away from Arjun Singh, vice versa. They took votes away from Dieter Duty. Ray Dhaliwal's in the mix. And I mentioned, I saw Dieter during Memorial Cup in that Molson Canadian area there. And I was like, I was quite direct with Dieter, who took in the advice and agreed with me that all four of those councillors, one an ex-councillor, all they did was take the vote from each other. They all chopped each other's arms off. And Reid, who campaigned differently than the rest, had the support to win the election. So I'm talking about you, Sadie Hunter. I'm talking about you, Arjun Singh. I'm talking about you, Dieter Duty. I'm talking about you, Ray Dhaliwal. You should have found a way to not all seek the big chair and the spotlight and the accolades and put forth one or two candidates. You didn't do it? Here's where we are. Let's get into it now. Buying and selling. We're going to go over the eight series. We'll start in the Eastern Conference. Okay, I'm buying
buy.
Saskatoon Blades. I don't think the Prince Albert Raiders are much more than a speed bump here. As much as the rivalry is alive, I don't think the Raiders are much more than a speed bump here. Sorry to say. And that's because the Blades are strong. And I think there's a feeling that Prince Albert was just happy to make the playoffs here. Granted, the Blades might bring the best out of them, but I don't see this one going more than four. If it does get to a Game 5, it's because the Raiders in front of their home fans found it in a Game 4 to avoid a sweep. That's my take. Okay, let's go to 2-7 on that side. Swift Current Lethbridge. This one will be closer maybe than some think, in my opinion.
Bye.
Swift is starting to get it together. They got some goaltending. Connor Geeky has a highlight every night. Lethbridge, they'll be a tough out, though. Like, Lethbridge won't go down, just like they didn't lie down in 2018 when these two teams combined in a major trade. And Swift took, what, three players from that Lethbridge roster? But Lethbridge still found a way to take that to six. This one might get to six. I still think Swift wins. 3-6, Moose Jaw, Brandon. Brandon can be a tough out here, too. There's some tough teams on the other side. And while Moose Jaw is favored, they win the series. Yes, they do. They win it in five, or maybe it takes six. We'll see what branded Weed Kings team they ice. A team that can look dominant or a team that can look a little loose at times. Moose Jaw in five or six. And Red Deer Medicine Hat. Boy, both these teams sort of limped home. And it's a good matchup, but one will be rewarded with a second round series. Med Hat still missing Caden Lindstrom. Red Deer gets back Carson Latimer. Really important piece for them. He had the broken jaw. But Red Deer doesn't give you a lot of confidence the way they closed out the season, losing back-to-back games to Edmonton. I think Medicine Hat wins this series. Home ice advantage, but I think it goes six. We'll say Med Hat in six. Other side, Western Conference, 1-8. I'm buying
the
Prince George Cougars. I think they beat Spokane, but let's give some props here to the Chiefs because they gave PG some fits this year. They split the season series, two wins apiece. Spokane went up to PG and probably should have won both games in a two-game setup there late in the year. They picked up three out of a possible 4 points. They had a two-goal lead in the final 2 minutes and couldn't close that one out. And they split down in Spokane. And by the way, the Chiefs, they stopped in Kamloops here on Thursday. I'm assuming they practiced, spent the night, and then continued on their way up to Prince George. That's how I do it. So this one is still going to be a Prince George series victory as heavy, heavy favorites. But I still think it goes more than the minimum. I think it goes more than the minimum. We'll wait and see. Other series, 2-7, Portland. Portland sweeps Victoria, 4 straight. Let's go 3-6. This is the Everett-Vancouver series. What a weird curveball this week with the Everett Silvertips and their coach. I've never seen it before where a coach is announced going somewhere else in the WHL before his term has ended. But when you mix leagues and the way that colleges and universities do things down south, it's already known a lot of times who that next head coach of the program is going to be while they're still employed by another team or another school. So it's just contrary ways of doing things. So this is a real tough spot. I still think the Silver Tips are the team that will win this series, but we'll see if this throws any sort of momentum into question. I'll say Everett in six. And the series where I think there'll be an upset as far as seeds go, Kelowna, Wenatchee. Wenatchee the 4 seed, Kelowna the 5. Two teams sort of going in opposite directions to close out the year. Wenatchee was just kind of barely holding on to home ice advantage, found a way to get that done. Kelowna was trying to avoid being 6, 7, or 8, and that pushed them into the 5th spot. So I think Kelowna wins this series. They do it in 5 or 6. That's buying and selling for Kyle Panasuk, Westwind Royal LePage, Realty Kamloops.
You've got mail.
Okay, fan mail for the Mattress King. Mattress King, more than mattresses. They are furniture, electronics, and more. If you are perhaps looking to freshen up your home, make the Mattress King your spot. 421 Mount Paul Way. Okay, so mailbag full this week. Let's get into it. At Jesse Phil says, with a strong 05 born group next season and a few openings in the 04 group, do you think the team looks to add more impact 20s, or do you think they double down on the younger players? Do you think Edmund Stone forces his way into the top spot, or does he share duties? And I did tweet back at you, Jesse, and said, there's going to be a lot of that talk in the Sean Clouston interview. I hope you found the answers you were looking for. Steven at the Slice, he weighs in. He says, I'm excited for Finney. Clearly the Red Wings are too. What would determine if he plays pro next year instead of coming back? Well, what determines him playing pro is the NHL-CHL agreement, whereas if you are 19 and you are not on the NHL roster, then you must come back to your junior team. And I know there's always talk about this CHL-NHL agreement sometimes when it's up for renewal. Basically, the CHL doesn't want their best players, their 19-year-olds, playing in the pro system down the line somewhere. And I agree with that. So definitely that will be the situation that Emmett Finney, the Blazers, and the Red Wings are in. Mitchie the Kid says, do we plan on getting any of the USA drafted players to be part of the future? Also, of the two imports, who do you see coming back? Obviously, we'll need to use that high-end import pick this year. That could be a second overall pick. And yes, you use those picks. Mateo Kochi, Wojtek Folkfest. I'm going to say I hope that all three find them with the import pick. They all find their way into the WHL next season, either with the Blazers or other teams. Because you should get, hopefully, a really good player here. Mateo Kochi, he'll be a world junior with the Czechia next year. So he's high on their radar. I expect him back. Wojtek Folkfest, what can you say about this guy? He filled a role. He did everything asked. He added some grit, some toughness, physicality. Did it with a smile on his face. Did it with a great attitude. Killed penalties. Wojtek Folkfest was a warrior this year. So our hats are off to him. We'll see how this plays out. But the USA picks, yeah. This draft, the U.S. prospects draft, which the Blazers picked 6th overall in, hasn't netted this organization a player yet. And I hope it eventually does. It's been tough sledding, not only for the Blazers, but a lot of the Canadian teams. It's been really tough. So with that said, it hasn't completely gave them nothing out of it. They drafted Cam Fondrick a couple years back, traded his rights to the Edmonton Oil Kings. Oil Kings were hoping they could recruit him with a bit of a family connection or a teammate connection. Never happened. Blazers did get a 4th round pick. For dealing the rights. And Fondrick never did end up in the WHL. But let's hope, Mitchie, let's hope that they can land one. Brotherhood of Blazer goalies named Dylan. He says, I know we've talked about before about players scoring well analytically. And when the Blazers are drafting or acquiring players, are they taking a more analytical approach or are they still the traditional traits? They won't look past no matter what. I would say it's a bit of both. They still have to pass the old school eye test. And wouldn't you want that to happen? Wouldn't you want them to pass the eye test and be like, yeah, okay, He's a player. He's got good hockey sense, makes good plays, fits the role, fits the bill, looks like a junior hockey player. But the analytics also factor in. So it's a bit of a hybrid there. No doubt they have some good people on that side of the operation. We've had Sailor Preston on intermission before, and he does a lot of this work for the team. He's a really good scout, really smart guy. Maybe we should bring him on the podcast here. Logan Penny, Logan_Penny, says, I still don't regret the Zellweger trade, but giving up Landon Dupont is tough. Looking back on the deal, was there any way the Blazers could have still done the deal without giving up that pick or maybe putting some sort of protection on it? Good question. Looked into it. And apparently there is a rule that you cannot protect, like lottery protect a first-round pick, if there's multiple first-round picks in that deal. In a perfect world, you lottery protect that pick the next year, but when you're dealing with multiple picks, and it was four first-round picks, Ryan Hofer was the other half of that. I always say two first-rounders for Zelly, two for Ryan Hofer, because that was the going rate for an impact top 20-year-old at the time. So we can't forget about Ryan Hofer in that deal. But Olden Zellweger, yeah, it's going to be tough. Landon Dupont, I think Mickey would have loved his son here if that would have been the case. But it's just the way the WHL world turns now. Connor Bedard was not picked on the Regina Pats first-round pick. Nope. He was picked on a pick that was originally Lethbridge's, then became Swift Currents. I think they have the right order of that. And we're going to see more and more of that. Like Seattle, for example. Seattle could have had a second and fourth pick overall in the draft this year. That's the picks they held. But, of course, they had to make moves. They were in their window. And the number two overall pick that belongs to Prince Albert, theirs. They also had that Kelowna pick via Regina that turns out to be the fourth overall selection. Hockey guy Ed from PG, he says, what team should bring back jerseys from the past? PG, Swift Current, anybody else? Well, we've seen those two teams. I'd like to see the Blazers. I don't think it can ever be done now, but I'd like to see to get that old Blazers shade back of blue and orange. Just can't quite replicate that now with the manufacturers, I don't think. But I'd like to see like a retro Blazer jersey like that. That would stoke some memories. You know, hockey guy Ed, to be honest with you, I'm not a big jersey guy. I just haven't been. It's just something I don't pay a lot of attention to, and I don't mind if some do, but it's just not on my radar that much. On patrol at the Sheriff. What's up, Sheriff? I'm glad the team went all in last year and all in on the rebuild this year instead of holding on to veterans for a first-round exit. Future is bright with our group of 07s showing a ton of upside and all the picks. Is the mood similar with the team? Yes, it is similar. And I do like what they did, and I think the management ownership also agreed. But it's up to that group of 07s and the 06s here to take a big step in the offseason. It's very important. Just because you're the youngest, moving your way up does not guarantee anything. You still have to develop, still have to get stronger and bigger. But Sheriff, thanks for that point. Andrew at, oh, now we have a hot tub beers here. Hot tub beers. So we have airport beers. We have hot tub beers. I thought we had one other handle like that. Andrew goes, can you put in a suggestion for next season that an early season Spokane-Wenatchee road trip series would be awesome, especially for some of us who'd like to road trip along with the Blazers again this year? Okay. Well, hopefully the powers that be hear this. I do believe the schedule has already been made in earnest, so I guess we'll wait and see if that happens. But so you think that's a good road trip, Spokane-Wenatchee? Like, that's, you're clamoring to do that road trip? I don't know. Wouldn't be my first choice. But then again, maybe if I was a fan, I'd be all just jacked to do that road trip, especially when there's hot tub beers and airport beers and everything else this crew has here going on. Dwayne, 3081, at Dwayne, 3081. Do you think Cochy and Volkfest will be back? I think we've answered that question. Likely only one will be back. We'll wait and see. And which Blazer do you think will make the biggest jump next season? I don't know of a name that I can give on who will jump. I think the organization is just hoping somebody steps forward here in that 06 group and even in the 07 group and really takes charge. I hope that a guy like Nathan Boehm takes a step that we saw from 15 to 16. I hope that Tommy Lafreniere can be an impact. He played top 6 minutes down the stretch. I hope that goes for him. I hope that every player can come back better and stronger. Remember, there's inner competition here. 23 potential returning players. We're not counting potential 20-year-old adds or potential 16-year-olds making the team. Fan mail was great this week, everybody. Appreciate all the questions as per usual. I put that tweet out usually every Wednesday or Thursday, and y'all jump on it, and I sure appreciate it. Hearing lots of great stories about people that can't wait for the pod to drop on iTunes or Spotify, and they're jacked and ready to listen to it. And that's great. That makes me want to keep doing it and keep, you know, bringing you the news and some of the inside stuff we talk about here on The Blaze. Fan mail for the Mattress King. Okay, let's get to closing remarks for Len, Sari, and the staff at Pleasure Pools Plus. Check out their massive roster of affordable H2O, Cal, Sundance Spas, hot tub repairs, service advice. They'll dig the hole for your pool in the backyard, because if you got a pool, you're cool. Someone should come up with that as their business slogan. Closing remarks. Strange one there with the Saskatoon Blades, their head coach, Brennan Sonny, who has done a really good job in Saskatoon. He was going into the playoffs this week talking about his team, and he had some sort of weird Detroit Lions head coach Dan Campbell vibe to his take on his team. Here's Blades head coach Brennan Sonny.
We view ourselves as a wolf pack. We're just going to keep coming and coming and coming, and we're going to run and hunt and chase and run and hunt and chase, and we're just going to keep coming, and you do that between the whistles. It has nothing to do with ego or the war of words. There's no Conor McGregors in here. We're just a wolf pack that are going to run and chase and hunt and bite and keep going.
Okay, and here's the original Dan Campbell Detroit Lions clip.
We're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. And we're going to stand up, and then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you.
Okay, so you see the similarities, right? Here's Sonny.
We're just a wolf pack that are going to run and chase and hunt and bite and keep going.
All right, so anyways, we'll leave it at that. We got our predictions in this week. We got our big, long, deep dive with Sean Clouston in this week. And I thought we touched on a lot of bases here with some of the players. There's some news that will continue to follow with Harrison Brunick potentially making Canada's under-18 team. We have the WHL Prospects Draft upcoming. All sorts of picks for this team in the first four rounds. Want to thank everybody for playing along. I know it's been a tough season on some fronts. Our fans continue to show it up. I want to thank our three 20-year-olds for being absolute players on and off the ice. And I just want to thank everybody that downloads and talks about the Blaze and says, hey, I got to listen to it each and every week. It's on the radio here, Radio NL, today on Thursday and Friday at 5 o'clock. And just thanks to everybody that makes this show happen. That's episode 27. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm off to Edmonton. I'm going to check out Olin Zellweger here. Let Zelly cook. I'm going to get the t-shirt on in Edmonton. The Ducks are taking on the Oilers Saturday, so that's where I'll be, and maybe we'll catch up with Zell, and I can give him a Let Zelly Cook t-shirt on the Blaze. That is episode 27, everybody. Have a great weekend.